Well, once again, we'll turn to the epistle of Paul to the Philippians and the second chapter, and we'll read verses 14 to 16. So the epistle of Paul to the Philippians and the second chapter, and reading verses 14, 15 and 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So here we have gracious words of exhortation from the apostle to the Philippian church, and how thankful we are that there are words in the word of God of exhortation and direction for us as we live upon the earth. And of course, this was written very many years ago, but we can see the same need there is of such words in the day and age in which we live. And so we should be very thankful that God, in his great providence and mercy, has left for us the word of God, which meets every age and every case. And so tonight may we realize the relevance of it to us even today. So this 14th verse commences with the apostle saying, do all things without murmurings and disputings. We've often commented how comprehensive the word of God is, and this word is also very comprehensive, because it says do all things, not just some things, not just the easy things, not just the things that we like doing, but do all things without murmurings and disputings. And again, it's good to have such direction in our lives today. Sometimes we may think that such words are unnecessary and they're not needful, but yet we prove that they are necessary and they are needful in all of our hearts, because we find that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And therefore we do fall sometimes into the traps which the devil sets before us of murmuring against the way that the Lord sets before us. If it doesn't meet our requirements, if it doesn't meet the way that we want, then we murmur against it. And it's a great blessing, therefore, to be delivered from it without murmurings and also disputings. The devil loves disputings, because disputings often create separation. And that's the devil's great aim, is to separate the church of God. And so we should be very thankful that we have a statement like this, which tells us so very clearly to do all things without murmurings and disputings. We read that 144th Psalm together, because as we come down to the end of that psalm, in actual fact the penultimate verse in the 144th psalm, we're told that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Well, that's a good word, isn't it? That there is no complaining. We don't complain about the path that God leads us in, but we recognize it is the right way for us, although perhaps we don't always understand it, we don't always see it at the time. And yet to be able to look back and observe that great word, as for God, his way is perfect, and to know the Lord never makes a mistake. And so do all things without murmuring and disputings. And the reason, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Well, we remember, of course, the word of God, the words that the Lord Jesus spoke himself in the what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, speaking about light, how the children of God are lights in this world. And he tells us, ye are the light of the world. That's verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It's a very obvious statement, but it just brings home to us the relevance of this verse. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Of course, again, a candle in a house covered up wouldn't be of any value at all. And so he then draws us to this statement. Let your light, my light and your light, so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And surely that directs us to the one light, the true light. The Lord says, I am the light of the world. And may that light shine forth in our lives to the honour and glory of God, and that men and women and boys and girls therefore may take knowledge of us, that we have been with Jesus and have learned of him. And this means really, you see, that we're not to therefore be troublesome or quarrelous in this world, but we're to set a good example that our light might shine forth for his honour and for his glory. What a blessing it is. The Lord has graciously left on record such words of direction, that ye may be blameless. When left to ourselves, of course, we're not blameless. We're often at fault. And again, it's a mercy if God shows us that we are at fault, and that we need God to help us to do those things which are good and right and for his honour and for his glory. And so do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. What a blessing it is if you and I are indeed the sons of God. Because if we're not, the reality is that we are not his children and we are eternally lost. The Lord directed the Apostle John in that beginning of his gospel. We read, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's what is really shown to us and set before us as we come on to this 16th verse, holding forth the word of life. This is the word of life. And remember that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, whom ye shine as lights in the world. And what a wonderful blessing and favour it is if we understand the greatness of this truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Lord was always in existence. The eternal God, the eternal Father, the eternal Son, and the eternal Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, the apostle goes on and he comes down to the fourth verse. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so we find ourselves today living in a dark world. And what a blessing if our light shines forth men and women, boys and girls, take notice of us, that we have been with Jesus and have learned of him. And so to be found the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Well, that he might rejoice in the day of Christ. Surely that's a wonderful blessing for us today, to rejoice indeed in the day of Christ, rejoice in what he has done, in his great and glorious work that he finished upon that cross at Calvary so many, many years ago, that I may rejoice. Well, the Apostle Paul says, again I say, rejoice. In the midst of this dark world, oh, may we look beyond the darkness of this world to the glorious light of the gospel, which is, of course, focused in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as by faith we view him, may we indeed truly rejoice and praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and be so thankful that we have such a wonderful and glorious Saviour. The Apostle Peter refers to the great truths, how the Lord sets before us a wonderful example, and how we should follow that example in this world when we find ourselves in this crooked and perverse world. The Apostle said in the second chapter of the first epistle, verse 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He did the will of his Father, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Well, may these words of exhortation be instructive to us, and may we be found holding forth this word of life, the glorious Saviour, in all that he's done, that we may indeed truly rejoice in that finished work. And as the apostle says, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. No, he set before the Philippians the glorious gospel. And we today are blessed with the glorious gospel. And therefore may these words not fall to the ground and be in vain, but may we take them to heart, for the honour and glory of Almighty God and the eternal good of our souls.